groups are live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations including Radio Max in Takrady, ATL FM in Cape Coast, Volta Premier Hall, Radio Justice Tamale, Jakpa FM Gwipe, KTU Radio, Koforidua Sky in Sunyani, Dreams FM, Volkatanga Radio Max Takrady. Coming up this afternoon, transport operators threaten a 30% increase in fares as petrol hits 14 cities with diesel approaching 18 cities at some fuel stations.
We are still waiting for them to do something as quick as they can, else we cannot do anything than to also come up with an increment of fares.
Well, we have details plus what can a Tema Oil Refinery do to ease the pressure on fuel prices.
Let there be a legislative instrument, mm-hmm. as it is in Nigeria, as it is in Malay, as it is in Indonesia, where they have a domestic market obligation.
Also this afternoon, workers of Valco hits the streets of Tema to protest against what they describe as plans to sell the state-owned aluminium smelter.
For whatever reason, you can only guess that perhaps it is to serve a few individuals in.
Also this afternoon, a year after Joy News exposed the drug gutters of Tinker Island and Colombia, a follow-up investigation reveals Ghana's drug crisis is worsening with illicit substances spreading beyond the ghettos into schools, university campuses, and even everyday food and drinks consumed by young people.
They're infused. You have the edibles, you have the toffee, you have the sobolu. Basically, what you want to infuse it with, so like adding weed to something. And most guys, they see when they get high, that's when like they're able to like function well. That's how they're able to like steady, write their song, write their music, like do what they want to do.
And also, it's time of that year again. It's the National Science and Maths Quiz Regional Qualifiers, and this afternoon, Senya Senior High School pulls off a stunning upset in Contest 6 of the Central Regional Qualifiers, beating Winneba Secondary School to secure only their second ever appearance at the championships. With more of these and more with me, Mami Senya Mitchell Thompson, this is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible. Let's get into the details. Transport operators are threatening a 30% increase in fares after what they describe as government's failure to respond to rising cost of fuel. The union says rising fuel prices coupled with the cost of spare parts and maintenance are driving drivers so badly that some reportedly spend almost the entire daily earnings on fuel. Now, Deputy Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, Samuel Amwa, says it is now seeking an urgent meeting with the Transport Ministry, but warns that if nothing changes, a fare increase may be unavoidable.
Last week, we were proposing that the government should do something about the petroleum products. You know, we don't normally rely on only petroleum products. We also consider the spare parts, the lubricant and the taxes. As for the spare parts, we have been talking about it, the dealers don't want to reduce it, so we are not really been talking about it again. But with the fuel prices, they gave us a promise that they will make sure that it will go down, and this is what we are seeing now. So last week we came out with a proposal that we are giving the government 3 days ultimatum that they should, you know, do something about the petroleum product, else we also come up with 30% fare increment, of which, you know, the 3 weeks that we gave the government, you know, ended last Saturday. We are still waiting for them to do something as quick as they can, else we cannot do anything than to also come up with an increment of fares. The 3 days that we gave the government, you know, ended last Saturday. Today, as I'm speaking to you, we've not heard anything from them, but the leadership is moving to, you know, see the transport ministries to, you know, find out from them what is really the problem.
Well, the decision to supply Tema Oil Refinery with crude from Ghana's Jubilee Field has been met with some criticism. The Institute for Energy Security argues that Ghana needs a permanent policy requiring a portion of locally produced crude to be supplied to Tema Oil Refinery. Prosper Smith Wahine is senior researcher, Institute for Energy Studies.
But in the long term, as you are saying, it took decades for us to get to be at this position. So we don't expect 3 million barrels of crude delivered to Tor and refined to automatically change the entire dynamics. We will have to, that is what IES called. If you realize, IES, we did call, and we are making that call insistently, that we need to have a legislative instrument that will ensure the sustainability of what the Jubilee Sweet Crude delivered to Tor should be. It shouldn't be that when it is politically convenient that the president will take that action or the sector will take that action. We saw the first term of President Mahama in 2016 delivering such crude to Tor, but then it just ceased. It didn't happen again. Mm. And revert back, all those gains that were made at that time was eroded. Today, the president has done the same. But as to whether that is just by the whims of his power, that is also a question that we need to interrogate further. And that is why IES is calling that let there be a legislative instrument, mm-hmm. as it is in Nigeria, as it is in Malay, as it is in Indonesia, where they have a domestic market obligation, which would mean that anytime Exploco is lifting fuel or lifting their crude, they have a percentage of it. It could be that the percentage will be a case-by-case basis or period-by-period basis, mm-hmm. may not necessarily be fixed. And that is go a long way to help us.
And we have the Prosper Smith Mwahine, his senior researcher, Institute for Energy Studies, speaking to me on Joy News Desk earlier today. Well, let's speak to Executive Director for the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers, Duncan Amwa, on this. Grateful for your time, Duncan, for joining us on the Midday News. Are the current prices really justified by the current developments on the international market?
Mommy, the truth is that you cannot get it any cheaper at this time anywhere. Even in the United States, fuel prices that declined to around $2 a liter have gone back to $4. So what you're seeing here is a stark reflection of the kind of prices you are seeing globally. And I think that the only bit Ghana can do will be to look at its own internal resources and then how to maximize whatever benefits to consumers. The prices are fair. Per the numbers we have in-house, these are not prices coming from people's imaginations. Plat prices, if you talk of the trading platforms where petrol diesel globally and ATK is traded, prices have really gone up, and I'll not be surprised it does go up again, even in the course of the week, this week.
So, Duncan, we know that Tor is now refining crude. Do we still allow the international market to dictate domestic prices when Tor is now back fully?
Well, Mami, we had some engagement with the Tema Oil Refinery just last week. One of the things that we were seeking to understand is whether government indeed was supplying crude with a strategy in mind that says that we are giving you probably at a certain minus, which is what you call the Brent minus or WTI minus. But it looks as though the crude that has been supplied to Tor, to Central, were strictly commercial. Which means that whatever prices you get on the international market or whatever prices that has been locked in is what the refineries would have to pay for. Again, it is also dollar indexed. And I think that players like GMPC would need to look at this again. The Energy Ministry would need to look at this again to ensure that...
All right, grateful for your time. And that was Duncan Amwa with COPEC speaking to us on current fuel prices. Moving on. And these are grieved members of the local workers' union of the Volta Aluminium Company, VALCO. joined by their mother union, the Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU, protesting through the streets of Tema against what they describe as plans to sell the state-owned aluminium smelter. The workers insist such a move would undermine Ghana's industrial ambitions, threaten jobs and jeopardize the future of one of the country's strategic assets. The General Secretary of the ICU, Morgan Ayawinning, says discussions about a possible sale of Valco have persisted for years. He maintains that disposing of the company will not be in the best interest of the workers of Ghana.
Precisely, EADEC, led by Mr. Jumasi Ankrah, for whatever reasons, you can only guess that perhaps it is to serve a few individual interests, and that is parochial indeed. We are looking at the risk involved, the potentiality of this resulting to job losses, and Ghana will be deprived of the ownership of this great asset of ours. So we want government to know and to take us seriously, because we began this discourse long time ago and it appears nobody is listening to us. No one is giving us a listening ear. And you know, in Ghana, and for that matter in Africa, if you don't drum home and let people see your issues, your concerns will not be addressed. So we are not up to anything. We are not up in arms to attack anybody. We are not up in arms to say people should not do their work.
And you have there Morgan Ayawinning, his General Secretary of the ICU. Well, the Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Integrated Aluminium Development Corporation, GIADEC, Randolph Chumasi Ankrah, has repeatedly dismissed claims that government intends to sell Valco. Instead, he says government is pursuing a co-ownership arrangement with a private sector partner to revive the struggling smelter. According to him, discussions are underway with potential investors to inject about $750 million into Valco to modernize its operations and restore the company to profitability. Away from that, a year after Joy News exposed the thriving drug ghettos of Tinker Island and Colombia, we return to uncover a disturbing new reality. The drugs are no longer confined to the ghettos. They are finding their way into schools, university campuses, and even everyday food and drinks consumed by young people. Interior Minister Muntaka Mubarak says government is preparing a cabinet memorandum that could make drug screening a prerequisite for recruitment as authorities confront what they describe as a rapidly evolving drug crisis. In deadly doses to Ghana's growing drug crisis, Nana Bwachi Yadom investigates how traffickers are changing tactics, why children are becoming addicted at younger ages, and whether Ghana's response is keeping pace with an evolving national threat. He has Beyond Deadly Doses, Ghana's growing drug crisis.
In 2025, Joy News brought cameras into Tinker Island and Colombia, two of the notorious drug ghettos in the Ashanti region. We documented lives consumed by addiction. Authorities promised tougher enforcement. Communities hoped the crackdown would slow the trade. A year later, we returned expecting to measure progress. Instead, we uncovered a crisis that has become far more difficult to confront.
They infuse. You have the edibles, you have the toffee, you have the sobolu. Basically, what you want to infuse it with, so like adding weed to something. And most guys, they see when they get high, that's when like they're able to like function well. That's how they're able to like steady, write their song, write their music, like do what they want to do.
41% of our tertiary students are aware of active use of drugs on their campuses.
Parents are no longer only looking for wraps, pills, or smell of marijuana. They are now confronted with products that resemble everyday food.
Yeah, because they use it to cook, to bake. You go and eat any woman's shito, you are not sure. Be careful. It may be mixed with all sorts of weed or other substances.
A year ago, Colombia stood as one of the starkest symbols of Ghana's drug crisis. It was here that Joy News documented an abandoned settlement transformed into a marketplace for narcotics.
I am one type I take in much. I can take in like 7 teaspoons a day. Mm-hmm. I get high. I get to forget many things. I'm a mother, yeah? And then as a mother, depression is somehow part of us. You get it? So if you're a mother and you're taking this, it takes you far.
Rebecca is 25 years old. She's also a mother of two. Inside Colombia, many know her simply as Bibi. Behind the addiction is a woman who still speaks about her children, still hopes to leave this place, and still recognizes everything she has lost.
When we say about her in the debia or dream, I don't dream that as soon as dear. So it starts from there. It clear off every thought like Bibi Bia, how Bia.
Tinker Island presents a similar picture.
Very soon, we may have to declare serious public concern for the rate at which our young persons are going to drugs.
We must be called rehab in Iba. Where is 6 months, 3 months? I don't feel rehab in Iba.
The challenge has been where to put them in terms of rehabilitation. It is very expensive housing these guys, some of whom don't even have where they live.
We are preparing a cabinet policy document where I want to go to cabinet to seek the cabinet approval so that we now make it mandatory that nobody will be able to join the public service unless you go through doctors.
And that was Nana Bwachi Adams' report. Well, joining us on Zoom is the chairman of the Health Committee of Parliament, Mark Kurt Nawani. Grateful for your time, sir. Well, it's no news that the youth in Ghana are abusing drugs, but what I want to understand now is how concerning this is to the Health Committee of Parliament and what steps they're taking in this direction. Mr. Nawani, reposition yourself and speak to us. Unfortunately, we've lost Dr. Nawani. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. And the Environmental Protection Authority says scientists have found plastic particles in the placenta of some women, raising concern over the continued use of harmful plastic products in Ghana. On Loud and Green X Spaces, Director of Human Settlement at the EPA, Hope Smith-Lomoti, said the decision to ban styrofoam, also known as polythene packaging, is part of a broader plan to address the health and environmental effects of single-use plastics. He said some plastics can remain in the environment for hundreds of years, eventually entering water bodies, the food chain, and affecting human health.
We have conducted a number of researches. We have even discovered plastic in some women's placenta, which is becoming alarming. And there we have gotten to a decision point to take out styrofoam or polystyrene, or what you popularly call takeaway. But styrofoam or polystyrene in general, for now, as a roadmap leading to taking out other single-use plastics after this 1st January 2027. We have reached the point because when we look at it critically, the health implications where hot food are poured in some of these containers, exposing people to the chemicals, and oily food also are poured into them. Some of them get finally into our water bodies because they don't decompose easily. They take years. Some can even stay for about 500 years to decompose because they are not biodegradable. Some aquatic animals like the fishes also consume some of this, and they remain in their system, come back to us in the food chain.
Now, away from that, this afternoon, the Accra High Court was packed with high-ranking officials of the NPP as its Asante Regional Chairman, Bernard Ntshipoisiako, also known as Chairman Wuntumi, appeared before the court for proceedings in his alleged 30 million Exim Bank fraud case. Now, today's appearance comes exactly a week after he was sentenced to 20 years imprisonment in a separate illegal mining case involving the Samaroboy concession. Earlier, the Attorney General's office indicated that it had rejected Mr. Wontumi's proposal for a plea bargain in the case. Let's now go live to the Accra High Court and speak to legal affairs correspondent Fatal Bayaga for the latest. So, Fatal, before we get into the substance of today's proceedings, do we know why Mr. Wontumi's lead counsel, Andy Apia Kubi, was absent from court?
And so basically, Atachia was on his feet in general jurisdiction too. He said that Atachia had, you know, I mean, Andy Apiakubi had drawn his legal service wound to me, and then his company wound to me farms. He didn't really tell us what exactly to the step by Andy Apiakubi. The councils in this particular case explained that it is the party that has asked them to take over this case from Andy Apiakubi. So basically, that is what we've picked up so far as far as this particular case is concerned, and then the absence of Andy Apiakubi in court is concerned.
Right. Let's get into the case. Well, we heard that the Deputy Attorney General, Justice Remsai, disclosed that the AG had rejected Mr. Wontumi's plea bargain proposal. Has there been any change in that position?
So basically, in the courtroom, the Deputy Attorney General still told the court that they have not reached any agreement with the previous counsel and the Apiakubi, but then he said that since there's a new counsel taking over, and also because of the conviction of Wontumi in the Samra Boy concession case, it disrupted the conversations and all of that, and asked that they should be given more time to be able to talk with the new counsel. In fact, and Atachia then on his feet, you know, that they should come back after the legal vacation sometime in October. So when he made that argument, Srimsai again came and said that no, the judge should adjourn it to maybe after 15 days or 30 days so that they'll return and then update the court on the progress of the case. So the judge eventually settled on 27th August where the part would be back in court to update the court on talks.
And just before you go, you said some senior NPP officials were present. Who are they?
Mami, so the party's former chairman was in court, former majority leader, or say chairman Sabonsu, was in court, former information minister Kojo Oponkrumah was also in court, the director of communications for the MPP was also in court, among other bigwigs of the opposition New Patriotic Party. When they got to the court, they were talk to the media, but the lawyer, one of the lawyers, Nana Bafuewa, basically said that the court has adjourned the case to the 27th of August, where they'll be coming back to court and then to update the court on the progress of this particular negotiation.
Right, that's Fatah Bayaga, legal affairs correspondent. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. While we take a break, while we return, Anya Senior High School has pulled off a stunning qualification feat at the Central Regional Qualifiers, overcoming a spirited challenge from Winneba Senior High School, Fetiman Senior High School and Asin Manso Senior High School to secure their place at the 2026 National Science and Maths Quiz Championship. Their school delivered a composed performance throughout contest 6, getting the upper hand by capitalizing on bonus opportunities in the opening round before taking control of the speed race with quick and accurate responses.
I feel excited, and it is because from Form 1 to Form 3, it hasn't been easy.
You were on the stage. Was it something you expected?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, but I would say, irrespective of the training and everything, it's gold. God makes a difference.
I'm very, very happy for what had happened because it's something excellent. We never knew that. We knew we would qualify, but not to this extent. We know by the grace of God and hard working, we have produced a good result. We will let people know that we are from Senior High School, grades and sec.
And those are some of the contestants interacting with my colleague, Ramat Bashiru. Let's take you to the Ashanti region where Sewanyako Girls Senior High School, Edu Jemfi Senior High School, and Wesley High School, Bekwai, are hoping to return to the national stage after reaching the 1-8 stage in previous editions. And my colleague, Michelle Latte, joins me with updates from there. We'll also reach out to Ramat Bashiru in the central region. Let's start with you, Michelle. Tell us briefly, what's the stage now?
So currently, Mami, in the Ashanti region, they've completed the very first contest where Sewanyako girls secured 49 points, giving them a qualification into the national